Hello and welcome to the Green Business Podcast, a show about climate entrepreneurs and their exciting businesses. I am your host Bharti for these weekly conversations about scaling up a climate-driven business. My guest today is Dr. Pardeep Garg, co-founder of Uruvu Labs. Uruvu means water spring in Malayalam, and it is addressing the problem of water scarcity through its solar-powered device that generates water from air. Its water generators are currently being piloted with several FMCG companies. Pardeep heads technology and business operations. He brings significant expertise in new energy systems, given his education and prior work in solar energy. He holds a PhD in mechanical engineering from Indian Institute of Science and was a research fellow at MIT before joining Uruvu. Hi Pardeep, welcome to the show. Looking forward to our conversation today.
Thank you, Bharti. You know, firstly, let me thank you for this very kind introduction.
Pardeep, let's start with your journey at Uruvu. How did you meet your co-founding team?
Sure, Bharti. So, talking about Uruvu, my colleagues, my co-founders Swapnil and Venkatesh had started this as a project in the beginning. So if I could take you a little back in the time, I would say that in about 2015, Swapnil and Venkatesh were pursuing their bachelor's at MIT Calicut, and the city of Calicut at that time had faced a severe water shortage problem for about 3 days. And this motivated my co-founders Swapnil and Venkatesh to come up with something, you know, which could address this problem. And after their graduation in 2016, they continued working on the problem, and they initially developed something called air conditioner based water from air system. So this technology consumes a lot of electricity, though the water is from air, but it consumes electricity, and electricity is not always renewable. And hence, you know, what they wanted to do at that time in 2019, they wanted to turn this water into 100% renewable commodity. So this is when, you know, I was approached by them, and given my background in new energy systems, new type of energy systems, so, you know, I also got really excited by this opportunity. So this is how, Bharti, I got introduced to Uruvu about 2 years back. And since then, we have been trying to develop, you know, 100% renewable water, the concept, and we not only using solar energy but other kinds of energy energy systems which are renewable in nature. So basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to come up with 100% renewable water infrastructure inspired by PV and wind type of technologies of the electricity space.
Okay, so that's wonderful, Pardeep. So let me summarize it. So what you are building at Uruvu is some kind of water generator that is powered by solar energy or any other renewable energy in future. So how can you now talk a little bit about the technology, and please make it very simple for us.
Sure, Bharti. So the idea remains simple, you know, if I could say it this way. So today we see PV and wind type of technologies in the electricity space which help us go renewable, but we don't find any such technology option in the water space. So idea is simple. We want to come up with 100% renewable water system. How do we do that? To refer any water as 100% renewable water, there are two elements to it. The first element is that the water should be sourced from an inexhaustible source of water. For when we look at many sources, we find air could be such source which has got inexhaustible amount of water. So to give you an analogy, I would say that our atmosphere contains a huge amount of water, and that amount of water is equal to about 5 times all the water combined in rivers of this world. So there's huge amount of water, and in about 8 to 10 days water gets replenished. Every 8 to 10 days water gets replenished. So the air can be considered as inexhaustible source of water and hence renewable. But we don't stop there. So there is a second element to it. The second element is that whatever energy goes in harnessing this water from air should also be renewable in nature. So what we do is we use renewable energy, for example, solar heat here, solar energy here. So this solar heat helps us power our desiccant-based technology, which extracts water from air. And when both these elements are combined together, we get 100% renewable water. When we bring this renewable technology, how does this renewable technology work? So we use a material called silica gel. Silica gel is nothing but glass. Whenever we buy a new thermal flask kind of a product, we see a small pouch, generally of small beads, 2 to 3 mm beads. Those very beads are called silica gel, and this material has got this property that in about 3 hours, 10 kgs of this material absorbs about 2 kgs of water or 2 liters of water. So this is called adsorption process. The second is that, when we heat up this silica gel material to about 75-80 degrees Celsius, the 2 kgs, 2 liters of water which was absorbed earlier is now dissolved, collected and is collected as fresh water. So there is this process of about 6 hours adsorption and desorption using this material called silica gel, and this is how, we produce water.
Okay, so if I understood it right, the silica gel in your systems absorbs water or humidity which is there in the air, and then renewable source of energy is then converting it into the water, right?
Precisely.
Okay, and what does the product look like? So is it a system that we have to install on our rooftop? Is it something similar to the rooftop solar project?
So this is an interesting question, Bharati, and so just like any other renewable technology, for example, if I could bring in PV example here. So with PV, we can have large scale PV power plants in the outskirts of our city, which help us provide renewable electricity at grid level. And then we could also have rooftop systems, PV systems, which help us, go independent of grid in our households. So we can also do both type of projects, and as it turns out to be in PV case also, the electricity that is generated on the rooftops is expensive because of the scale of the project when compared to, the PV projects which are built outside the city. So same goes with us also. So we can have 5 liter per day, 20 liter per day modules also, which are really small, and 20 liter per day module could be seen as a household requirement because of family. Typical family of four will consume about 20 liters per day, and we could have 20 liter module on the rooftops of our household. So that is one option. The second is that, we could also have these large scale water plants, for example, lakhs of liters of water per day basis, on lakhs of water liter per day basis in the outskirts of a city, generating a huge amount of water. And what do we do with this water? This water could be packed in the sustainable renewable packaging bottle material, and this could be used in the beverage industry. This could basically disrupt the beverage industry, because beverage industry consumes a lot of water, about 1500 billion liters of water every year. How much is this water? If I could give the number, I would say that whatever water human beings need for their drinking purposes, about 20% of that is floating around us in form of beverage products, whether plain water bottles, soft drink bottles, or beer bottles, or other alcoholic products. So there is a lot of water around us, and this beverage industry is dependent on groundwater. And this is where Uru as a company also wants to focus, because beverage industry is the industry which has been highly unsustainable, and it charges a lot of premium also to its end customer. Because if you look at the 1 liter water segment, we see 20 rupee water products in the market, Bisleri, Kinley, Aquafina. And we see that, the water cost is just 50 paisa, but the overall product cost is about 20 rupees. So what happens now is, with the renewable water of Uruvu, which costs around 3 rupees, so 50 paisa of water becomes like 3 rupees, so 2.5 rupees extra. So the product cost becomes 23, 24 rupees or so. And we think that, a certain fraction of customers who care about renewability aspect, the sustainability aspect, will not mind paying about, 10 to 15% extra to go renewable. So these are the two markets, Bharti, for us, the rooftop market and the big scale market, the large scale market. And we're trying to pursue both, but our primary focus remains the beverage industry, the large scale market.
Okay, so currently the use case is for the beverage industry, for whom the water costs may be either higher than than what your product would be priced at, or maybe they don't even have enough water. They are exhausting the groundwater slowly, and then they would run out of water. So there also, it makes sense for them to buy a renewable source of water.
Precisely. So actually, the water cost they pay today is less because of the kind of policies we have. There is no charge on extracting groundwater in huge quantities. But if we look at the true cost of water, the true cost of water would be really high in such projects, which is often missing, which is often nobody is caring about that. But the another point here, Bharti, is that not only from the point of view, of course, there is this groundwater extraction that is happening there. And when we look at these big companies like the Coca-Cola and Pepsi, so we see that particularly in Indian market, after every year or so, we see these court cases, the water in the localities of these factories has dried up, the water level has come down significantly, and farming issues are there, the crops are not healthy anymore. So a lot of agitations happen from time to time. And these are definitely challenges for big FMCG companies, not only from the asset, from the economics point of view, but from the brand reputation also. So what we are trying to do here is that there is also premium angle to our product, renewable water, because this water is renewable. And the beverage industry, there are many, many players in the beverage industry, from international markets to local ones, smaller ones, bigger ones. So there is no USP the one has against the other. So we can bring this, new USP, which is the renewable water, which has been unheard in the water sector. And this can become a competitive edge for a partnering company in the FMCG space against other companies. So this is also associated with where the cost really doesn't matter, because extra 2-3 rupees per liter of water are not really reflected in the in the final cost of the product in a bigger way on a percentage wise.
Okay, got it. So if they were to use your water at the scale that you are today, the cost of their end product may increase by 2-3 rupees, which they will be able to pass on because they can talk about being fully sustainable, right?
Precisely. So there is this huge marketing angle that the partnering FMCG companies will get when they use renewable water.
Okay. So where are you in your journey currently? Is your product already available, or are you piloting with several people?
So Bharti, we are at a little early stage, if I could say that. We have just recently raised an investment from a firm called Special Invest. Where we are today is, we have 2 5-liter per day machines at our office, which help us produce 10 liters of water cumulatively. And in the next quarter, we're supposed to do 3 pilots, one with the FMCG company, one with the premium real estate company, and one with the biopharmaceutical company. And these pilots will be of the size of 5 liters per day. But in the meantime, what we're doing is we are also scaling up, because 5 liters per day is something that is a little less, that doesn't really serve any demand. Per se, these are prototypes for us to fine tune the process. So what we're going to do is we're going to quickly jump from 5 LPG to 20 LPG in about a quarter again. And once the perfection in the 20 LPG module, so we will start piloting 20 LPG modules again. The focus would be FMCG companies and the premium real estate companies. After that, we quickly move in about 2 quarters from 20 LPD to 100 LPD. So our focus in the next 12 months is to get ourselves from 5 LPD to 100 LPD in with the step of 20 LPD, while installing many, many pilots of 20 LPD and probably to 100 LPD also as we start our journey.
Okay, so that brings me to another very interesting thought, that we see that solar power is very popular, right? It has reached a scale where it has become competitive with grid power. But when it comes to solar driven water, globally also we have only one company, one source that is doing it. So why do you think this technology has not become popular? What are the barriers in mass adoption of this project?
So there are many, many aspects to Bharti, you know, why this concept hasn't really picked up. One is the marketing angle. The second is the technology itself. And the third is the, you know, product market fit also. For example, when we look at Zero Mass Water, or the company is now named as Source Global. So when we look at their product from a technology point of view is merely 5 liters per day. So if we want to, let's say, if a beverage company wants to produce tomorrow, let's say 1 lakh liters of water every day. So what they would have to do is they would have to buy 20,000 of such panels. They will basically be duplicating, and the cost of water doesn't really come down. So this is one problem, technological problem with the concept Zero Mass has been following. On the other hand, what Urugu does is Urugu has decoupled the two key elements, two key components in this concept, the desiccant core, the material which basically absorbs water from air, and the second is a solar heat component which powers the desiccant material after, you know, the adsorption process. So these two components have been decoupled in our approach, and when we decouple, so we can scale our technology to any capacity. And as we scale up, the cost keeps coming down, because the balance of system, the cost associated with the balance of system keeps coming down. Because, for example, as I mentioned, 1 lakh liters of water every day, so 20,000 panels, so there will be 20,000 desiccant cores in case of Zero Mass, 20,000 bowls, 20,000 dispenser units, 20,000 bowls, everything will be duplicated. On the other hand, in case of Zero Mass, this balance of system will be single in nature. So we will have single set of bowls, we have single array of solar panels, single desiccant core, so everything is single in nature. So this, the economies of scale sets up in our work concept, and this brings down the cost significantly. So what we do, the other point is that Zero Mass Water is produced only during daytime, whenever the sun is there. So the capacity utilization factor of their machines is only about 25%. On the other hand, when we look at Urugu machine does not rest even for a single minute in a day. So it means that the capacity utilization factor for us is about 100%. So we need 4 times less desiccant mass. So we need less quantity, less BOM. There is less BOM, you know, associated with that concept, and which helps us reduce the cost. So how much is the cost difference now? So, you know, their cost of water is about 15 rupees per liter, and ours is about 2.5 rupees to us at a scale of about 10,000 liters per day. So there is this huge cost gap of about 5 times. We think that, you know, with this cost difference coming up, we should be able to, make a significant dent in this market. Also, coming to Zero Mass again, Zero Mass actually has been doing pretty good. They were recently funded by Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. The company has raised more than $100 million in total, and the revenue-wise also the company is doing decent. So we are hopeful that, you know, this market is picking up now, and the concept of renewable water has been really established by Zero Mass Water in many, many ways. And we hope that we can ride this wave, and with the technology difference and the cost difference, we should really be able to, you know, make a significant progress.
Okay, so Pardeep, now 2 questions. One is that, given that your device is powered by solar, how does it work, 24/7? That is question number one. And second question is that, you know, people who need this water most are bottom of the pyramid, right? Where the water is either not available or it is impure. So this technology cost will have to go down significantly for it to be affordable to those people. So what are your thoughts on that?
So definitely, Bharti. So, you know, the case for the first question was, how do we make water 24/7? So we use solar energy. As you mentioned, that solar energy is highly intermittent in nature, and it is available only during daytime, and that too probably 9 to 4, 9 to 5. So what do we do is that we use a thermal battery. We store hot water using solar energy in a solar water tank kind of arrangement. So this essentially becomes a thermal battery for us, which supplies us the heat during evening hours to run the desorption process of the machine. So this way, we can run our machine now throughout day and night time. So the second question was, how do we, you know, bring the cost parity eventually for the bottom of pyramid people? You mentioned very rightly, Bharti, there are a lot of people who don't have access to good quality water good quality drinking water. So, and very rightly, Zero Mass has also been focused in that market. They're gaining particularly very good traction in the African geography with the help of organizations like World Bank, WHO, you know, other international organizations. So what we also think that, you know, the water, as it happens with any new renewable technology, in the beginning phase, the services from that technology will remain a little expensive. But as the mass adoption happens, as the technology implementation grows significantly, exponentially, the cost comes down significantly, and ultimately we achieve this parity. But till we achieve this parity, we need government support and the support from NGOs, support from international organizations to implement these projects, basically subsidize these projects. But the good news is that our cost is way less than any other competitor in the market today at scale, with cleaning to be about 2.5 rupees and 3 rupees at about 10,000 liters per day. So we think that, you know, with the soft subsidy, soft policy thrust, for example, the discount rate, when it comes to financing, this discount rate of 14-15% is what I, you know, assumed when I mentioned the cost of water, renewable water is about 3 rupees per liter. But if the discount rate is less as it is in the solar and wind projects, so, you know, the cost of water can come down significantly. And then the other thing we see that, you know, technological push from our end, we are trying, you know, hard to come up with new materials, new science, more heat recovery, so that, you know, we need less of heat to begin with and hence less cost. So there is this technological angle also that we are pursuing. So we think that the mix of policy, mix of technological innovation, and, you know, when all these components are combined together, I think that we can achieve this target of, you know, eventually 1.5 rupees, 1 rupee per liter of water when we go renewable.
So that's very well put, Pardeep. And now the last question. So as a deep tech startup, you know, that has been building a product for more than 4 years, right? It actually started in 2015 in a way, right? So, and you have had no revenue visibility, you know, till date. So how do you keep going?
So I can't agree more, Bharti. So technology startups have, you know, this long incubation period and have to go through several stages than probably other startups would have to go through. So technological startups can only do marketing when, you know, the technology is verified, business model is verified and shows promise to be successful. So all these are time-taking process, and I can just say that, you know, it takes a lot more time for technology startups. The most important thing, I guess, is you know, continuity of this startup is to have the motivated founders to begin with. If who have the unwavering responsibility of not giving up, irrespective of, you know, the conditions. So the COVID came, for example, it was really hard surviving those COVID days. These ups and downs keep happening, keep coming. But, you know, if we have the right support, the right mindset, I think we can, you know, keep evolving. And I also think, Bharti, one more thing, I have been now an entrepreneur for like about, you know, 4 or 5 years, I see that anything can happen in business anytime. So while that is true for, you know, bad things to happen, I guess that is true for good things also to happen. So anytime, anything good can also happen. So I believe, you know, Urvo has well taken a little more time, but now we our foundations are really strong, and, you know, we really have the right team, the right investors, the right people on board, and who can really push this idea forward, this concept forward, and we are ready to, you know, disrupt the market in a bigger way.
Yeah, and congratulations on that, Pardeep, and thank you so much for this lovely conversation, and wishing you and Urvo team best of luck.
Thank you, Bharatip.
Thank you for listening to the Green Business Podcast. This show is brought to you by Finetrain, an advisory firm that supports green businesses in fundraising. You can read more on us on finetrain.com. Thanks again, and see you next time.